It's 16th of August. Out of the corner of my eye, I watch the screams and cries on the internet that the Russians are raising. They consider the decision of some European countries to stop issuing visas to them as terribly unfair and contrary to human rights. They probably do not consider the decision of their own government to bomb schools and hospitals unfair and contrary to human rights. I don't really like to generalize, but sometimes you can't get away from generalizations. The Russians, for most part, either support the war against Ukraine or are indifferent to it. Okay, we are bombing someone somewhere. Well, that's how it should be, probably. Yes, of course, there are heroes who damage railroad tracks and pass on information to Ukraine about the movements of Russian troops on Russian territory. But they are negligible against the backdrop of an approving or silent majority. Since the beginning of the war, I have been approached by two Russians whom I knew personally, asking how they could join Ukraine's fight against the invaders. Just two. Do you know how many of them did come and join Ukrainian army? No one. Because it is difficult and expensive for them, they have to go to the country in which the Ukrainian embassy operates, wait until all the necessary checks are carried out, and live somewhere all this time. As a result, there are probably fewer Russians in the Ukrainian army than Americans or British, whom I just did not meet at the front or in the rear during these last months. Canadians, Moroccans, Brazilians, fighters from Cyprus and Israel, Portuguese and Spaniards, but I did not see the Russians. Although, judging by social networks, many of them support Ukraine in its struggle and would like to help us. For a long time, I was angered by this double think of the so-called good Russians. We are, of course, ready to help you, but not right now, maybe sometime later. But recently, I realized that maybe this is for the best. Maybe we should not believe those Russians who say they are ready to help us. I spoke with my colleague, a journalist. He did not join the army, but works as a frontline reporter. And he asked me one simple question. Would you like to have a formation of Russians next to you at the front? Would you feel safe knowing that the positions to the left, right, or behind you are defended by the Russians? And I realized that I do not want to be at the front next to the Russians. I don't trust them. I understand that this smack of collective responsibility and holding all Russians responsible for the atrocities committed by their army. However, I do not call on all of them to be judged en masse and to give everyone prison terms for genocide and war crimes. But it is also impossible to pretend that Russian society has nothing to do with it. After the defeat of the Nazis, the re-education program affected the entire population of Germany. Everyone, without exception, was taken to the concentration camps to show what the country had done. They gave lectures to everyone and showed films about the horrors of Nazism. At the same time, I can well admit that among these Germans, there were those who were against the Nazis from the very beginning. They knew everything about concentration camps, torture, genocide. It was just that their voice was not heard in the choir of those who shouted Heil Hitler. So the voices of Russians who oppose the genocide of Ukrainians are almost inaudible in the cries of those who demand to take Kyiv and Kharkiv at any cost to destroy the Ukrainian language and culture. For almost 80 years, the Germans have been living with a sense of guilt for the deeds of the Nazis. This is the scar on the conscience of an entire nation that has not yet healed. The Russians will have such a scar on their conscience. Only at first, it is necessary that they have this very conscience.